this morning we're going to be in we're going to be in Psalm 147, primarily on verse 3, and I think it's a really exciting verse to be able to tackle this morning when we think about the Christmas season, to talk more about like my thoughts and distractions of like what's going on, the cold being one of them already off the bat. In Christmas in general, my wife will attest, in general, I get distracted easily. And what I mean by distracted is there just seems to be a lot of things out in the world that just get my attention, and I just kind of want them. Like, I'm very happy and blessed with what I have, but I do get really distracted by shiny objects, both physically, like if it's actually shiny, yes, I might actually get distracted by it, but also just in general, like new things, you know. I just get kind of into that. And what ends up happening is I do play a comparison game, you know. I'm a father of two, and I do sometimes wonder if I'm doing enough for Christmas. Am I putting enough decorations up? Did I get enough presents for my kids? They recently were just like, Daddy, can we open a present early? And I was like, no. But then there is that sinking feeling of like, should I? And it kind of runs a little deep, you know? And some of us all experience that kind of stuff. And to me also, it is just a little bit crazy. Again, with the distractions, but just bear with me. I think it's important for us. Black Friday, I'm kind of over it, honestly. I love saving money. I really do. But Black Friday isn't really about saving money. People are trying to get you to actually spend more money. So it is so weird, and I just feel a certain way when it is Black Friday, and I'm not on Amazon buying something. It feels like I'm doing something wrong. I can't stand that. But that is the reality. And I think what can start to happen is, like, with Christmas, we can get kind of twisted in that. And, like, that's exactly what I do. And what really we should be leaning into is the joy of Christmas. And the best way for us to experience that, and what I'm excited to kind of go in with all of you, and I'm really just, like, an observer of how wonderful the Word is and how wonderful God is in his message about how he fulfills a promise of, like, healing and binding up our wounds, and we're going to tackle that, is our brokenness. It's something that we inherited. It's something that we have with us. And we are like reminded that we're children of God, and we aren't just getting this from like a distance from God. God isn't like all the way up here and healing us like, you're getting healed. Cool. You're getting healed. Cool. That's very like not personal. It's just the opposite. He's with us. And so I'm really excited to dive into that more. And we could all be experiencing something this holiday season in terms of brokenness. We'll talk about that more. It could be something chronic that you have, something that is sort of a burden on your life. Maybe it's an illness, something temporary. Sickness ran through our family. So if you can't notice, I kind of sound like an adolescent high schooler. No offense to the high schoolers here. Okay, I'll add this too. It's like there's a little bit of yodeling going on in my voice, so I'm not going to try to sing. Or maybe I will. Who knows? It'll be a surprise. And so when we look at all of this and we take all of those burdens that we have, which are very real, there's a chance for us to draw that connection back to what the whole point is. And the point is to praise God. Praise God for the fact that we have Jesus and he was born in a manger for our sins. So we're going to pray shortly. And just before I do that, I want to share another brief personal story. So I married my wife, Michelle, in 2011. And my father gave a speech, and a speech during the reception. And it was a great speech. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. But something that he did before he started was he held a moment of silence to honor family, friends, loved ones who had died and who aren't with us. And I think that hits all of us, I think, in different ways. And it can be painful because it's in holidays and moments like this and like events like my wedding, right, where you wish people were with us. And so that can feel painful if I'm bringing that up, but I think it's important that as we go into prayer here, we should raise our voices to God in prayer for that. So Let me do that and then bless all of us this morning, okay? Father, we thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your kingdom. It knows no bounds. We thank you for how close you are with us and how you gave us your only son. We're wicked, Lord. We have sin, but at the end of the day, we just thank you for everything that you've given to us. So, Lord, I just want to honor and pray for those we've lost, those who aren't with us, friends, family, members, loved ones, and I want to pray for those who have experienced loss, that you be with them this Christmas, that you start to show how truly together you are with them, and that we can all be together in unity this Christmas season. And Lord, help us just to grow closer to you as we dive into your word, as we dive into Psalms, and a whole lot of other verses that I've got peppered this morning. And I just pray that what you've got to say really gets highlighted and illuminated. In your name, we pray. And everyone said, amen. So let's all stand up. Let's all stand up and go into God's word. Matt got me water this morning. This is so nice. Thank you, Matt. Okay, so primarily we're going to be in Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Okay, you can have a seat. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I'm dead serious. That's the core verse for today. I had this temptation to look at all the other verses of Psalms that tie into this, but I really just wanted to do that. And it's tradition. I wanted to honor Matt and having everyone stand. And we should stand for God's word, but thank you for entertaining me. That was really for me. Well, I do think, as I tie into this with verse 3, right here off the bat, what God is saying is his priority on healing the brokenhearted and binding up our wounds and how that has just so much truth. Some context here too, and as I kind of share a little bit more about this, the first 145 chapters of the book of Psalms all have subtitles. So these could be to talk about different sections of what Psalms is talking about in that moment, except for the last five. The last five chapters of Psalms start and end with the same phrase. Does anyone know what that phrase is? Praise the Lord. And from last week, we might have an idea of what praise the Lord means in Hebrew, which is hallelujah, which is spelled H-A-L-L-E-U-luh. See, I even like didn't sound it correctly. It's right here. E-L-U-J-A-H, because like I'm going to get it wrong. Isn't that fascinating? It's in the beginning and the end of each of those chapters. It really kind of shows exactly how we should look at these chapters, specifically 147. There's so much good stuff in the rest of this chapter, but it really highlights just what we should be doing this holiday season. As we step back into verse 2, let's take a look at this. It says, I'm not going to make you stand for this one. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. What the psalmist is doing here is also describing the goodness and greatness of God so that we have reasons to praise God. So we've already had that in verse 1, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is showing here his active care for Jerusalem. Up to this point, what this is making reference to is how the Babylonians basically put Jerusalem in exile for 70 years. It all started with King Nebuchadnezzar II at the beginning of the conquering of Jerusalem. And essentially what happened is the Israelites were outcasts. The Israelites were cast out. They were lost, scared. They didn't have anywhere to go and were considered to be in exile. It wasn't until finally King Cyrus of Persia came and retook Jerusalem swiftly in the night. King Belshazzar was basically partying just a little bit too hard, was not paying attention, and was just like hanging out with all of his friends, homies, etc., in his like cabinet, I guess, or whatever. And God really worked in kind of a swift and miraculous way to restore Jerusalem back for the people of Israel. And so this verse right here really kind of gives us some clarity truly about the greatness and goodness of God and what he's doing for us and who he's referring to. Because at the end of the day, God isn't just talking about the Israelites here. He's talking about us. We are outcasts, truly. This is a reference to us to realize that we do have brokenness that we won't be able to get rid of, that we are truly outcasts. And there's a lot of different ways that we can feel like we're outcasts. We could be made outcasts because of something that we have as a part of ourselves, like something that we deal with on a daily basis, a sickness, any sort of illness, some sort of trauma that we've gone through physically, something that is just a part of who we are, and we have to live with that, and we can feel like outcasts. Unfortunately, too, we could also be in a situation where people could cast us out because of that, which is unfair. We can't control that, but that could happen. We could also be outcasts because of something we did in our own wickedness. We can make ourselves outcast as such. Maybe we were rude to a friend. Maybe we betrayed a friend. Maybe we committed a crime. Maybe we cheated on something. Maybe we lied to someone. We're capable of becoming outcasts through our own wickedness as well. You could also be an outcast because maybe your family left you when they went to the airport going on a holiday trip to Paris. They did that twice. I can't believe they did that twice. You definitely feel like an outcast if you did that. And this leads to brokenheartedness. At the same time, you could feel like you're an outcast, and maybe your friends don't think you're an outcast. Your family members don't see you as such. Your coworkers don't see you as an outcast. Yet at the same time, you're hanging on to some sort of shame that just makes you feel like that, like you've decided, I'm going to judge myself. I am an outcast. Cool. Like you could do that. Now, all of those things are very unique. Like our experiences, how we are outcasts, in what way, are unique to us. I can't understand, personally, as a human, I cannot understand how you're an outcast or what you're dealing with or what your brokenness is. And that's okay. But you know, it is the same. What we all have in common is that we fit that category. Not only do we fit that category, but God knows exactly what you deal with, what you see, what you observe every single day. And what I also think happens is this gets amplified during Christmas, because the essence of Christmas overall, I think we can grasp the value of joy in singing that praise to God. But at the same time, there's a commercial messaging that just takes place in our society where it's like, you have to do this to be able to check the box of, you're doing a good job celebrating Christmas. Did you buy that newest toy for your kids? Do you have enough decorations? Did you get your lights up early enough? And the FOMO mentality, the rat race for abundance and just building all of that up, it is fueled by Christmas because it just, that's when you lean into it. There's such a vulnerability for us because truly that vulnerability lies within our brokenness in the first place, that we need a savior, so why not double down into that? It's unfortunately a genius idea. I don't like it. Again, I could do without Black Friday. I could do without all of that. Do you see how like this really kind of gets into this void that we create because there is a void? There is a void because of us being outcasts. And there's nothing we can do about it. But what we can do about it is accept it and see how God wants to work with us to reframe it. That's wonderful. So when we start to work through how we can look at our brokenness, there are two things we admit. One, we need God to fill that void. And two, earth, the things on earth, are insufficient in doing so. If we try to do that, earth will, it will continue to see that darkness. That void will just become more pronounced. Psalm chapter 73, verse 25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." It's just incredible right there. Proof that we can only have this fulfilled, our brokenness fulfilled by God. One thing I'm grateful for is also how specific God is. Can we all agree that God is super specific? I mean, in Genesis, like, he gave Noah specific dimensions in chapter 6, specific dimensions and specific materials to build the ark. That's crazy. It wasn't just like, hey, make sure it's super strong. No, very specific, right? But also, that level of detail that God provides starts there in the very beginning of Genesis, but then comes all the way into Isaiah 45 to give very specific prophecy of how Cyrus is going to come back and take Jerusalem back. That is how wonderful God is. He works in those different ways. He works in ways where he provides specific directions for a boat and also says how the people of Israel who are outcasts are going to be brought back together. It's truly wonderful. So now that we have established that God is very specific, so when he calls us brokenhearted, that's what we are. Are we failures? Are we wicked? Is he striking us down for those things? If he were, he would have been very specific in his scripture as such. He would have mentioned that. Amen? Yeah. So we can trust the word of what it says, where, like, verse 2, we are outcasts. He is going to restore Jerusalem. He is going to heal us, heal our broken hearts, and bind up our wounds. That is truth, specific truth. And when we receive this and open up ourselves from this, we can start to make a space for God to get to work within us. Because if we close ourselves off and we just decide, no, I'm not broken, I'm good, I'm totally fine, how can we let anything in? That falls on us. If we put up that wall, like, that wall is going to be there. If we just, like, don't open our ears up and we just, like, close them off to exactly what God wants to say, nothing's going to happen. Like, we're not going to be even open to it in the first place. But when we realize our brokenness and admit that, that's when we have our wounds and when Jesus can come in and actually start to heal us. And these aren't going anywhere. Like, our wounds, like, they're just a part of who we are. We can't sit there and say, I made my wounds disappear. I did not mean to have 2 Home Alone references, but here we are. There you go. So Kevin made his family disappear temporarily, but like they eventually came back. He realized the family did come back, and we can't get rid of, that's not really the greatest analogy for this. We should, as we trust scripture, the fact that like we have what we inherited. Kevin did inherit his family, even though they left him behind twice. But okay, I'm digressing. It's crazy. Trust scripture, not Home Alone. So this is such a massive relief. We can stop pretending. Like Psalm 34:18, this is so great too. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Here's wonderful news. Just as we look at all of these examples of how God comes for us and saves our broken hearts. If any of you consider yourself an outcast, whether it's justified or not, whether you did something or not, and or someone else decided, or someone like did something to you, make no mistake. What this is saying here is that God's heart is to gather you, all of us, together and make us truly an outcast and broken no more. Amen? Let's look at this further. So something that is really mesmerizing to me in Psalm 147, verse 4. Water is so good. About how God isn't distant to us. So verse 4 says, he determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. How many stars are there in the everything? Like over 1 million, right? Probably more than that. Times infinity. A billion, trillion. Not like 1 million. That's like way off, right? It's like It's like I forget the names of people who I work with, you know. It's like I see them every week. Like, so you're trying to tell me, hang on, so like we just talked about, this is so great, we just talked about in verse 2 how God's going to gather us together as outcasts. Verse 3, he's going to get down and bind up our wounds. Yet at the same time, he knows all the stars and calls them by name. Like, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy to me. He cares about Jerusalem as a whole. He cares about us as a community, yet comes down to our level. It's, I think, we kind of forget about how wonderful God's majesty truly is, as it extends so far to the depths of the universe, essentially, and we forget what God is truly capable. And so this could really be a verse that we lean into when we just want to be reminded truly of how great God is and what he's truly capable of. And what's so great about this too is that if God can name all the stars, like Jimmy, Steph, or whatever, I don't know who he wants to, I just named some names, you know, he names all these stars, probably something more like galactic, I guess, or celestial, I don't know, or maybe in the language that we can't understand. Either way, he knows our names. Like, if he calls all the stars, he knows who we are. He knows exactly what we go through and what we deal with. That's just truly incredible, truly incredible. We can always come back to Scripture and just be reminded of how majestic and how much how powerful he is, and his existence just extends from one end of everything, the universe. I say the universe, but maybe there's something more than the universe. My goodness. From one end of the universe to the next, and he comes down to us. The other thing here is, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Great is our Lord, abundant in power, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Okay, we get it. He made the stars, gave them names. Yikes. Verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. He lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Another thing that's kind of fun about this is that humble can also be interpreted as afflicted, which we've been talking about wounds. We've been talking about like our brokenness. We have an affliction of our wounds. So God is talking to us through this. And this is so great. This is another promise. We've established what his intentions are, his active care for us, for Jerusalem, for restoring Jerusalem, for us individually, his abundant power across the universe, and also what he does in general. One moment, I need some water, sorry. Good. I just need a moment sometimes. Water is great. Something that we see, unfortunately, all too often is people in power. I'm trying to do this in power, but like there are people who have earthly power, a lot of money, a position that gets attention. Maybe they're super popular across the world, and we just see them all the time, where they've sort of decided that they have it all. They've reached like a next level to us. We unfortunately see this where how often like do they kind of judge themselves to be like elevated? And so they look at others who are not at their level and it just doesn't concern them. It's sort of like this way of looking down on them. It's like, I'm not gonna concern myself with you. We unfortunately see that all too often. And it's sort of, well, we start to see this contrast here of what these verses of 147 has told us very clearly. God lifts up the humble and he casts down the wicked. The wicked in our day and age are acting as if they're the ones who are winning. They're the ones who are truly achieving their goal, and that pride really essentially blocks them from being able to experience the healing power of Jesus. But ultimately, at the same time, this is just further proof of what God's intentions are. Again, it comes back down to the specificity of the Bible. Clearly, God is very specific in his direction. This is where, if God wanted to exalt the powerful. He would have made mention of that. We can take so much comfort in that, everyone. Like, we can look at scripture and how he is essentially in favor of the outcasts, our brokenness. Instead of looking at us and just being disgusted, instead, he can come to us and bring us together. That's who he's looking to gather together. He is with us. And if he was a part of the powerful, if that was part of the game, he would have laid that out, but he didn't. That's such wonderful good news. At the same time, like, that also tells us the importance of being humble. And that can be done in one of these ways too. Like, when we look at our brokenness and what we're experiencing, there could be more different ways of how we could experience struggle like this, but what came to mind when I was writing this was physical, emotional, and relational. Like, we could have different types of suffering that we're dealing with. And let's say we have decided for ourselves that I'm just going to keep praying for this specific healing. Like, maybe it's something emotional. Maybe sometimes I just get in my head and I let thoughts just take over. And I just want God to free me of that. But instead, God might actually have an intention to heal you from something else. We could be coming to God with the intention of wanting to experience that healing, but maybe there is something there that's blocking us from truly hearing something that God does want to tell us. If we are prideful across the board, and I've kind of alluded to this, we've already blocked ourselves off from being able to hear what God is telling us. But just something for us to keep in mind too is that, especially as we look at Christmas, there could be something like we decided, like, this is why I think I should have a great Christmas. This is why I should feel like I'm checking all these boxes. But God might be trying to tell you something else. There might be something else. Like, maybe there's some sort of relational pain, or maybe some sort of physical pain, or maybe you're experiencing something totally different, but God really is trying to get you on a different track to help you glorify him and to be with him in company for Christmas. Because then you can also help others. Maybe that's God's intention. We won't know unless we open ourselves up to it. I know with, as we kind of look back at verse 3 again, us being brokenhearted, having wounds, and in verse 2, we are outcasts. It just is so incredible to me how Jesus wasn't born in like the Ritz, like a fancy hotel. He wasn't surrounded by gold or anything. He was born in a manger. And that is so like relational to us, because we can see that our Savior was not only born like for us, he's not only with us, he's not only on our side, but he came down to where we are. It's so wonderful. Like, again, it's not from a distance. It's not from all the way up here. It's like, hey, I'm going to keep my distance. Like, God's not, I'm going to keep my distance from you. You're crazy. Your sin? No, I don't want any part of that. It's not like that. He does the exact opposite. He gets closer. And like I said earlier, I have two kids, and I experience this all the time with parenting, because kids are so curious. And they ask so many questions. So many questions. Like, they have questions about their questions. They have questions about my answers. Our youngest daughter recently discovered QR codes. So she's asking about QR codes. And Elena is already, she's so wonderful. She's so curious. She has such a desire to build knowledge. But when she asks, hey, Daddy, let's scan that QR code, and it's like on the side of a lamppost, like a stoplight, I'm like, no, I don't think I will, dear. And she goes, why not? And I said, well, that's not the way it works. It was a big mistake, because she goes like, but why? And what ended up happening is, I had to explain the dynamics and the ins and outs of how there are servers and people can send viruses to your computer over the internet, and how security, cybersecurity, and all this stuff. It took like 45 minutes. Oh my goodness. Like, that is not the time that I expected, because It started from like seeing the QR code, and then it like went into our house, and it's like, how do I have patience for this? How do I do this? What's so great about that, though, is Elena then goes and tells her classmates, like, hey, I know about viruses. It's like, well, careful. Like, don't install them on, like, other, don't learn how to do that. But it's just like, that was so hard for me to do as a parent. In retrospect, I'm grateful that I did. But that's what Jesus does all the time. He gets down with us in those difficult moments, and it's like, he's with us. He will deal with our tons of questions. It's crazy. Zephaniah says in chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. Absolutely amazing. Next, what I want to do, so let's start connecting this into the beginning of chapter 147, when it mentions hallelujah. I have three verses here. I'm going to read them to you. And what I'm doing is the chapter, this first part of Psalms is, Jesus hasn't come yet. There's the promise of Jesus in tons of times throughout the Old Testament. There are prophecies about Jesus coming. But I want to share some instances where it is mentioned in the Old Testament and then it's directly fulfilled in the New Testament. I'm really excited about this because I get kind of emotional when I read these. So I've got three of them. And we're just going to read, we're just going to listen to all of this together. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. This is fulfilled directly in Matthew chapter 8, 16 through 17. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. He cast out the spirits with a sword and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Blown away. I have two more. And I think these are just so good to hear. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 through 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Fulfilled again in Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 through 5. And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Amazing. One more. We can do this. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Fulfilled directly in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is amazing. Truly incredible. The binding that God does of our wounds, what's promised essentially in the beginning of Psalm 147. We see this. It's all nice. It's happening within the Old Testament. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. If we want proof of that it is fulfilled, that it actually closes up and the circle truly is complete, look no further than countless evidence of what take place places throughout Scripture. These are just three examples of it. There was a promise of a Messiah coming, But yet at the same time, when the Israelites were lost, when they were away from their homes, when they were struggling, when they didn't have anywhere to go, they still have a God that loved them, a God that wanted to be with them, that still brought healing, but it wasn't manifested yet. So what happened is that God gave his only son. He had one son. He gave it to us, broken. Broken for many reasons. Broken because we were made such. Broken because we inherited it. Broken it because we did crappy things. We were wicked. We have all of this sin within us. Yet at the same time, he brought us a son called Emmanuel that means God is with us. That is the miracle of Christmas. That is something we can hang on to. That is something that can bring us so much joy. That is the point. So when we reach a point where we take our brokenness, like, let us not look at our brokenness as just a way of us being lowly. God doesn't want to strike us down. He's not disgusted by us. In fact, it is necessary. Let us take joy in that brokenness. And again, I want to emphasize, me, Alex, I don't know what you're going through. I never will. But God does, and the message rings true across the board. God wants to heal you of your sadness, of being alone. We are alone no more. That is the joy of Christmas. We don't have to be fearful of that. We can go about every day and have moments where we're like, oh my, like, how am I going to do this? Oh my goodness, I'm sick again. Oh my goodness, it's Christmas. I just want to be happy. I want to be filled with joy. I don't want this pain. What God is trying to tell us is that I love you and I am with you. I am here to heal your pain. And there is evidence across the board. He knows the stars. He knows them by name. He has conquered in our favor. He has healed us. His son was born for us so that we can share that kingdom with God forever. It is truly wonderful. This is our reason to praise. It comes back right to verse 1. It is good to sing to God in verse 1. Verse 1 says, praise the Lord, hallelujah, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. God wants us to sing to him. That's all we have to do. And how we sing to him is taking that brokenness and realizing it's there and saying it's okay. Again, I don't get it. I'm not going to understand it. But we're all broken. And when we admit it, that's when it happens. That's when the magic happens. That's when God gets to work. And we just can't help. We can't resist it. We just want to sing. I am not going to sing for you because I sound not great. But I can guarantee you one thing. If I did start singing, there is one who would be smiling down at me, at least. Just one, maybe. Everyone else would be like, please stop. God's going to be like, no, keep going. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I do have a brief personal story as we start to wrap up. About 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to have a procedure done at the dermatologist. They caught something abnormal. There was melanoma that was in my family. My dad had it removed a couple years ago, so since then I've been going to like a skin doctor and whatnot. They caught something abnormal, and I had to go in to get it taken out. What I thought was happening up to that point was, oh, they're just going to like freeze it. They're going to look at it again. I didn't know I was going to go in for like potentially like full-on surgery. And I learned that the morning of, because like their offices weren't like open as much during Thanksgiving. And Michelle will attest to this. I was mad. I was angry. I was like, why would God do this? Why would God do this? And at the end of the day, like, it wasn't necessarily such a traumatic thing by any means, but it was just like one more thing. And I was like, I can't I can't. Like, I didn't plan for this at all. And so I arrived there angry, so mad again. It's funny because what ended up happening is that it wasn't that bad. The experience was quick. And so when I'm upset with Michelle and talking to her, like the mother of our two children, she looks at me and like what I was going to experience. And she's like, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry. It'll be okay. Bless my wife's heart. What I did do is I was just kind of in a panic. And I Google searched Bible verses about surgery. And it pointed me to Isaiah 41, the promise that God is with us, for I am with you. And when I went into those verses, I experienced God's work in kind of healing my mindset. And so I thought I'd share that because I feel like that's going to happen to all of us. It could happen to us this week. It could happen to us today. But there are those moments where we can apply this and just pause. And that moment of just looking in our scripture and looking for what God wants to say to us through our struggle is exactly what Christmas is all about. It's that praise of like, you know what, God, I do trust you. Yeah, one thing is like also God might be saying, you're right, what you're going through does kind of suck. Or, yeah, that's not fun. But he's never like absent. He's never not there. He will come down to you and he'll be with you. And let us just be challenged to do that, to open that up. When we start realizing the wonder of our wounds and our brokenness, we can stop looking at it like it's a failure. So it's really easy to feel that way. Our bodies are constantly at war. We were born with sin. There's always going to be constant struggle in that regard. And that's why Paul, like multiple times, does say like the importance of like overflowing of how we receive God. And we do have to keep that cup overflowing all the time because our bodies just do at some point desire to come back to that. It's like, no, I am a failure. No, I am falling short. I should feel shame. But what God is saying is the exact opposite. What God is reminding us is that it doesn't mean failure. It's proof that a Savior loves you. And when we embrace that, when I embrace that, it's overwhelming. It's like, my goodness, what do I do with this? It's like when the cup overflows with everything that God provides for us. It's like, what do I do with this? Well, you don't have to worry about what you do with it. It's just there. Let it overflow. Let it take over. Because then what happens is that instead, this light shines through where you're hurt the most. And it's replaced by a love that you can't comprehend. And others see that. Others see how bright that light is, and they can't help but want it too. God wants us to want it. God wants us to want him. And when we embrace that this Christmas, all of the other distractions, all of the things that just come in and just like want us to take away from the truth of Christmas, of the fact that Jesus not only was born for us, he's not only with us, he's not only in us, but he's for us, he's on our side, he's with us every step of the way. It's like, how can we not just sit here and rejoice and want to do something about it? So let's do something about it. It's truly amazing when we need a reminder, when we need something to get us back. Let's look to scripture. Let's look at the countless ways that throughout the Old Testament, promises are fulfilled, that he is our healer. And we can look at it and say, God, thank you. For through your love, God, through your love, only through your love, we are truly outcasts no more.